Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I hope that wherever you are listening from, you experience a sense of unity with the church around the world. Today, we continue our series in the letter to the Hebrews entitled Anchored. We want to take seriously the warning contained in this epistle to be careful not to drift away from Jesus. In these COVID-19 times when so many of our regular rhythms have been disrupted, it's even more important to be on purpose in our relationship with Jesus. Today, Matt Willis, our youth and young adult coordinator, challenges us to consider the question, why, if Jesus is so great, are we tempted to drift away at all? And reminds us of the importance of doing the journey of faith together.
Reading from Hebrews 2, starting at verse 9. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
If the book of Hebrews were to have a subtitle, it would be simply this: Jesus is better. It's the overarching theme that flows throughout the text. It's the motto that the author continuously comes back to, reiterating and reinforcing for the audience. When we open up the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 is completely dedicated to the declaration that Jesus is supreme, that he has all glory and all honor and all power in heaven and on earth. For the author of Hebrews, he keeps going on about Jesus is better. And so if Jesus is better, why would you want to drift away to anything that is lesser? Why would you return to your old way of living, into your old patterns? Why would you give yourself over to something that is significantly lesser? Why would you hand your life over to something that can't carry it the same way that Jesus did and does and can? Well, it's that warning that we were left with last week. And so as we open up this passage today in Hebrews 2, starting at verse 5, what we find is that the author is right back to the beginning, making the declaration once again that Jesus is better. And the way that he does this, the reasons that he gives, are the cornerstones to our Christian faith. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, and these ideas about who Jesus is and what he has done came up then, and they come up again for us here in this passage. For the author, there are three things that demonstrate why Jesus is better. The first is that Jesus defeated death. In verse 9, it says that he tasted death for everyone. the death that is God's judgment for us as being a part of a broken world, the death that we all need to experience because of our own sinfulness, Jesus takes it off our shoulders and puts it on his own. He takes all of our death onto himself and dies for us. And by doing so, he breaks the power of death. He takes the power away from the one who would claim it, and he conquers the grave. And by doing so, he demonstrates to us and to the world that he is the Almighty God, that he has all power, that there is nothing that can overwhelm him or overpower him. And in by doing so, he frees us from the slavery of death. It no longer chains us to this world. It is no longer the cage that we live in. Death is no longer the end. But through Jesus, we're given life, and life to the full, an eternal life. This is why Jesus is better. But the author continues. Jesus is better because he reconnects us with our Heavenly Father. It says that Jesus becomes our merciful and faithful high priest. Now, in the structure of the Jewish temple, the high priest, their role was to mediate between the most holy God and a sinful people. He would bring the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of the temple, and he'd lay it on the altar and offer it up to God as payment for our sins. And now Jesus assumes that role. He becomes our high priest, mediating between us and our Heavenly Father, bridging the gap that was broken. And the sacrifice that he offers to God, the ultimate sacrifice that pays the price for all of our sin, well, it's him. His own flesh and blood paid the debt for our sin, making atonement for all of us. The very thing that disconnected us from God, he removes. And now we are able to meet with our Heavenly Father. Again, Jesus is better. And finally, the author talks about Jesus being better because he restores us to a position of honor and glory. Shame was something that would stain you. It was not easily removed. And the only way to get rid of shame was to receive honor. And Jesus gives us honor, freely gives us honor. As it says, he is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He welcomes us into the holy family. And in by doing so, he restores our honor by giving us a position with him. He gives us his honor freely. And what's more, the very source of our shame, which is our sin, the sin that disconnects us from God, Jesus now is able to understand that for us. He's able to guide us through that, help us through that, because in his own humanity, he himself was tempted. But he went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and came out victorious. Jesus removes the shame of our sin. And so it's for these reasons that the author is declaring Jesus is better. If you tuned in last week, you would have heard Mark speak about a really significant social construct within the Greco-Roman world. And it was this patron-benefactor relationship. The patron being someone who had a great deal of honor and as a result had influence, connection, status, and power. And they would use those things to bring benefits onto their benefactor. They would connect them with certain people and give them opportunities that maybe that person wouldn't have had otherwise. And in return, the benefactor would lift honor up to that patron. Any opportunity in their life that they could bring honor to their patron, they would. And what the author of Hebrews is telling the audience and us is that Jesus is the ultimate patron. Nowhere else in this world are you going to find these kind of benefits. Nothing else in our world can offer you the very things that Jesus can offer you. This is the greatness of Jesus. This is why we follow him. This is why he's better. So it begs the question, if Jesus is better, then why are they drifting away? Because we have to assume that they are drifting away, don't we? Otherwise, why is the author warning them against drifting away? And I think the reason is this, both for the audience of Hebrews back then and for us now. We live in a world that simply does not believe that Jesus is better. And I think part of that comes from the fact that Jesus isn't concerned with bending to the whims and expectation of what the world says is worthy. We see that in how he goes about fulfilling the work of God. Jesus' greatness is actually achieved in him becoming lower. He removed himself, even for a little while, from a position of honor into a position of shame. The very things that our world says you don't want to do. And then even more than that, the very benefits that we receive from Jesus are not worldly benefits. They're not a part of this world, but a part of an eternal one. They are benefits that you can't necessarily always see and touch. You can't deposit them in a bank. They can't buy you that house or get you that promotion. And so for the audience of Hebrews back then, in a world that was so driven by chasing after honor and so fearful of having shame, the world back then looked at Jesus and they saw a shameful man. Here is a man, just an ordinary man, who in his short 3-year ministry called out the religious leaders, called out their hypocrisy, the very people who society said had great honor, and Jesus said, no, not them. And instead, Jesus went to the poor and the marginalized, the sick and the wicked, the very people that society had said you should stay away from, the very people who society said if you went to, they would stain you with their very shame. And Jesus said, no, the kingdom of God is theirs. And then if that wasn't enough, he died. But not just any death. He died by crucifixion, the most horrendous and humiliating death, after which his followers fled for a time due to their fear. And so for the world back then, they looked upon Jesus and they asked the question, how is he better? Why would you follow him? Why would you tie yourself to someone like this? And I mean, when we think about it, is our world any different? We may not exist in an honor-shame society, but the things that honor could get you are still the things that our world says matter. Things like influence and power, status and control. Because all of those things give us control. They give us a sense of freedom. They make us feel that we can go anywhere at any time, anyhow. They say that we become the captain of our own ship and we can set sail to wherever we want to be. And with that control, we have freedom and we want that freedom. And when we hear that message over and over and over again, throughout the centuries, the world has always asked, why is Jesus better? It can lead us to start to question the same thing, can't it? When we hear that the world says, no, you don't want to give up control, you want control. But yet when we look at faith with Jesus, it's all about giving control over. When we hear that question over and over again, we can start to drift away. You can see how that can start to happen. And so the question is, what do we do with that? If Jesus is better and I don't want to drift away despite the fact that my world will always tell me to, what do I need to do to ensure that that doesn't happen? What's the application here? Because when we look at this passage, it doesn't necessarily give us a practical 1, 2, 3 steps. And for me, what this means for us, a way that we can ensure that we are remaining anchored in the truth that Jesus is better, is I think it emphasizes the significance of community. If our world is always going to ask questions about why Jesus is better, if our world is always going to tell us that there are other things, better things out there, that we don't want to tie ourselves to Jesus, if that message is always going to come to us, then that message is going to be really loud if we're doing this faith journey alone. If it's just us by ourselves, even the smallest whisper of doubt can sound like a scream in our ears. But imagine what it would be like when we rally together, when we're willing to wear the shame of our Savior together, despite what the world says. Then it seems to me that even the loudest voice will seem like a whisper to us. When we come together, we can remain focused on the things that we receive through Jesus. We can remind each other of the benefits that we gain from following our Savior. We can remind each other of the reasons why we signed up for this faith journey in the first place. We can remind each other that the things of God, the plans that He has, the works that He is doing transcend what this world knows and understands. When we come together, we can keep each other accountable to the commitment that we have made to follow Jesus. We can ensure that the voices that lead us to drift away remain a whisper. When we come together, we build strength. We build unity with our God. Now, I'm not saying that we want to create a cult culture. I'm not saying that we want to barricade the doors and lock up the windows. But we want to come together and be intentional about spurring each other on. We want to be the voice that the author of Hebrews is to each other, constantly declaring that Jesus is better and warning not to drift away. So can I encourage you this week? We're going to spend some time in prayer and reflection. Can I encourage you, if we're better together, then ask the Holy Spirit for a name, just one name. Someone who you know who is doing this faith journey, someone who you know who's seeking to follow after Jesus, and then connect with them. Seems odd that I'm asking you to connect when we're socially distancing. Thankfully, it's the 21st century and there are plenty of ways in which we can do that. Reach out to that person and have a real faith conversation with them. Ask them, what are the voices that they're hearing from the world that might lead them to drift away? What are the things of Jesus that they need to be reminded of that keep them anchored to Him? And then be vulnerable yourself. What is causing you to drift away? What are you needing reminding of? And let's do this together. Let's spur one another on. Let's be the voice that declares louder than our world that Jesus is better, that the things that we gained from Him are more than anything this world could offer us, that the plans and purposes of God transcend what our world says is worthy and of value, and that it's for that reason that we want to anchor ourselves to Him. It's not a stretch that we would be called to be in community when the God that we worship exists in perfect community with the Father, Son, and Spirit, when we're called to be in community and relationship with our Almighty God, and that we're called to be in community with one another, spurring each other on in this journey of faith, not allowing anyone to drift away. So let's do this together. Let's remind each other that Jesus is better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we declare that You are a God who is good, that You are a God who is great, that You are a God who is better than anything this world can offer us. Lord, keep our eyes and our hearts fixed on that truth, anchored to that truth that You are good and that You are God. Lord, we pray that as we rally together, as we come together as a community of faith, united by you, that we will spur one another on, that we will turn down the volume of the world and everything that the world says, and raise our voices, declaring always that Jesus is better. Lord, we pray that you show us how we can do this together this week. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
What things tempt you to allow yourself to drift away from Jesus? What are the anchors that keep you connected to him? And who has the Holy Spirit placed on your heart to connect with this week? These are great questions that help us remain anchored to Jesus. Is there someone you know who really needs to hear this message too? Why not share it with them and see what God does through that? And remember, you can follow us on Facebook or visit our website at gaimiabaptist.org.au. And keep in mind, we'd love for you to join us for church at gbconline.org.au at our regular service times of 8:30, 10:30, and 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Until next time, God bless.